Today, we're wrapping up our series, it's been a four-week series called Take the Land. And in this series, what we're doing is we're walking through the story of Joshua in the Old Testament, where God was leading Joshua and the people of God to finally take possession of the land that God says, this is going to be yours. He promised that back to Abraham and then to Moses, but here they were, God's promising it to them. And what we're talking about in this series is how we too can take hold of the promises of God in our lives, how we can take hold of the promises of God as a church. And the thing is, in this story, the previous generation with Moses under his leadership, the previous generation, they had the same opportunity to walk into the promised land. They're walking from where they were in slavery in Egypt. God frees them, and they walk to where God was leading them into the promised land. They're right on the doorstep, right in, like standing in front of the banks of the Jordan River. And the promised land was just on the other side. And in that moment, they stopped believing that God could do it. They stopped believing that God would be faithful to lead them where he always promised to lead them. And instead, because of fear, they decided to turn away. And because of that, they missed what God wanted to do. And so in the book of Joshua, God is giving Joshua and the next generation of Israelites a second chance to not live that same story and to not make that same mistake, but this time to walk forward and to take the land. And I love this story. I love this series that we've been in because I think there's so many parallels when it comes to our lives and when it comes to our church. I mean, I think it's a great picture of what real faith looks like. I mean, we talk about faith sometimes like it's this ethereal thing, you know, having faith. But I love this series because it shows that faith doesn't mean we just, you know, doesn't mean we just sit around and we passively, you know, wait on the bench and we pray for just God to just do something miraculously and to show up as we're on the bench. Faith also requires taking bold steps. It requires us taking bold steps to actually walk forward into the promises of God. And so what I've really found, and this is kind of the thing, that here's what faith equals. Faith is really God's action partnered with our action. Faith is God's action, God doing his part, while we take steps and we do our part. And we've seen this over and over, that before God shows up and before God comes through in our lives, before God shows up and God comes through when it comes to anything we seek to do as a church, what I found is that we have to do two things. We have to pray bold prayers, trust in God, and at the same time, we have to take bold steps. Bold prayers and bold steps. This is how the ingredients of God taking us from where we are to anything of where God wants us to go as a church and even in our lives. And in this series, what we've been doing is we've been saying, you know, we've been asking you, what is the promised land? When you think of the series, what does a promised land represent in your life? I mean, maybe there's something that's just like to go from where you are to where God wants you to be. Maybe there's a problem in your life that's like, man, if I could just bust through that and get to where I need to be, like that would be it. Maybe it's an opportunity that's ahead of you that you just know about in your family and your work life, whatever. It's an opportunity that's going to take some bold faith to step forward and to cross that river into a new territory. Maybe for some of you, it's like, you know, you may be saying, like, I've trusted God in so many ways, but there's one area in my life. There's this one area where I'm still kind of unsurrendered to God. I'm not really, I don't know if I can really trust him there. And so what we've been encouraging to do over the last few weeks is to write down those things and to place it on write it down on white flags and to come forward as a sign of surrender and sacrifice, but also as a sign of trust in God, to say, God, I'm taking this new territory. I'm claiming this, I'm trusting you in this new way, in this season. And so I love that for our lives, but I think it also applies so boldly for our church, this story. Because what we've been doing over the last 21 days, where today is the final day of we've been praying as a church for 21 days. We've been praying for what God wants to do in our church. We've been praying for our community. We've been praying for our spheres of influence. And I really believe that God can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And the thing that I know is that, today is a day of celebration. Today marks the end of year one of a journey that we started that looked impossible when we started last year. It's kind of like, how is God going to ever do this? We're coming we're finishing lap one of a three-year journey. And the thing that's so cool about this is, as we're seeking to move forward as a church, because God has been so faithful, and because of your extreme generosity, I mean, it's pretty crazy. In just a year's time, we as a church, you've given almost $250,000 on top of our regular tithes and offerings to this Imagine More journey. Can we just like stop and say, like, that's crazy, that's radical, that's sacrificial? And because of that sacrifice that so many of you have made, like, God is showing up. God is coming through. Doors are starting to open. We were sharing a couple weeks ago about some updates of God is starting to open up doors that we never really saw happening. In fact, we've got an update meeting coming up that we're going to host at our house to kind of, if you missed that, you're welcome to come over. You can check that out in your program. But God's opening up doors. And the thing that's so cool about this is, when we talk about this, it's not about a building. We've always been saying from the very beginning is that the church is not the building. Praise God, we didn't have a building when we started, and we don't officially now, right? The church is not the building, obviously. The church is about people. And what we really believe, what we've always said, is that facilities facilitate ministry. The church is not the building, but facilities facilitate ministry. And so what we know is that by creating a 24/7 presence and a home that we can reach, it's almost like God can put lighter fluid on something that's already rolling, that we can reach more people, we can impact more lives, we can do more mission opportunities, so many things, imagine more. And so for Joshua and the Israelites, they were on this journey, and they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Maybe you feel like you've been like that in your life. But they were in this desert place, far away from their destiny. And now was the time. Now was the season where God was saying, look, I want you to step out of that desert and into that place that's your destiny. And I want to proclaim that over us today, that now is the time. Now is the season for you and for me to step out of any desert place we might find ourselves in and to step forward to claim the destiny that God has for us. To become the people God wants us to be, to become the church God wants us to be. I want to remind you, when we first started this series, the very first thing that God says to Joshua, this is this promise in Joshua 1. Here's what it says. It says, the Lord said to Joshua, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 5, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you, the Lord says. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. And so this is the promise that God gave them. I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot. That's a huge promise. But don't you know that every single time that they walked forward, with every step, they had to fight for every square inch of every single step that they took? Because every time that they took another step, there was another battle in front of them. And it's one of those things where the same is true for us so many times in our lives. So when we seek to take new territory, new areas of our lives for God, see, what I've found is that the presence of a battle doesn't mean the absence of your God. See, oftentimes God uses battles to grow us and to mature us. But so don't be discouraged or afraid today if you find yourself in some kind of struggle or battle. I want to encourage you that God is with you. I want to encourage you that he is always working under the surface of your story to bring about your good and to further his glory. He wants to show himself to you. And so Joshua and the people of God, they'd already seen God come through. They were standing on the banks of the Jordan River, and God parted the water again, and they walk forward into the promised land for the very first time. But as soon as they take another few steps, they see the city of Jericho. Last week we talked about that. And it's this huge city, and how are we going to do this? The walls are too big. God, I don't know if it's possible. But what did they do? They just circled the promises of God, literally. Last week, if you were here, I took a lot of circles around. You know, they had to walk around for 6 days in a circle around Jericho. One time every single day for 6 days. And it was probably like, this is so dumb. Why are we doing this? But God said, I want you to walk around the city. And then they were supposed to walk around 7 times on the 7th day. And then they blew the trumpets and they gave a loud shout. And after being faithful and circling the promises of God, God showed up and God came through. The walls came tumbling down, and they took the city. And so God had already come through in their lives. And so today what I want to talk with you about is the importance. When we face different things in our life and what we're up against or what we're walking through seems insurmountable. And I want to encourage you today that when we face things that are insurmountable in our lives, of the importance of praying bold prayers and taking bold steps of faith. You know, that's what Joshua is facing in Joshua chapter 10, another difficult thing. Joshua 10, let me set it up. The Israelites, Joshua and the Israelites, were about to go up against five kings and all of their armies. And so this is kind of like five against one, and they're stronger than them. You know, the enemies were stronger than them. They were more trained. They were better, you know, and it's five against one. And this is one of those things where it's like, this isn't even fair. Like, how do we have a chance? But even though they were overmatched, I mean, think about this. The Israelites, they had been wandering in a wilderness for 40 years, walking with their sticks and stones, and here are these huge warriors, five groups of them. They're ready to go against them. But the people of God had God on their side. Here's how the story goes, Joshua chapter 10, verse 7. It says, so Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, including all the best fighting men. The Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them. I have given them into your hand. Not one of them will be able to stand, not one of them will be able to withstand you. Now let me just stop here, because this is a similar story that we saw last week, where all they see, like Jericho, you know, Jericho, all they saw were the walls in front of them. All they can see is five armies are in front of us, and we're just this little army ragtag group with sticks and stones trying to go against some real warriors. How do we have a chance? But then God says to them, hey, don't be afraid. I've already won this battle. I love this, because it just shows that so many times when we face certain battles in our lives, it's one of those things where God can actually look at what we're going through in our present circumstance. And he can actually say in past tense, I've already given you over into their hands. Like God, one of the things I love about God is God can speak about those battles in past that we're presently facing in past tense, because through Jesus, from his vantage point, we've already won the battle because of Jesus. It's one of those things where no obstacle or battle is too big for God. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul talked about in Romans chapter 8. In the New Testament. Here's what he said in Romans chapter 8. He said, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He says this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? And he answers like this, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's who we are in Christ. We're conquerors. I have to tell you, we drove back from Johnson City, Tennessee, late last night. My uncle, who we've been praying for, lost his battle, and we went to go celebrate his life as he passed away this past week. And he's 69 years old, and that was a great ceremony, a great celebration. But man, we've been praying. We'd be driving down in the car, and my daughter Kelsey, who's about to be three, she would stop us randomly, and she'd say, "We need to pray for Tony right now." And we'd be praying, and we'd be praying. Now, here's the thing: when he passed away, it's kind of like maybe you've been in these moments if you're a parent, where kind of like, what do you say? You've been praying and praying and praying, and it seemed like it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to turn out, and it doesn't make sense. But when we went to the funeral, it was one of those things where Tony had a deep faith. He loved Jesus so much. And just one of those guys that just exuded like what it means to follow Christ. And when he actually loved riding bikes. And we actually had his Cannondale, really expensive bike, that was out up in front of the ceremony that we had. And one of the things that he would always tell his kids, and it's kind of a funny thing, but he said, you know, in heaven, the Bible says that there's going to be streets of gold. And he said, you know, we love to ride bikes, and we love to go in the woods and ride bikes, but man, when we go to heaven, we're going to get to ride our bicycles with Jesus down those streets of gold. We're going to be able to do that anytime we want. And I love that. I mean, I don't know if there's bicycles in heaven, but what I do know is that it was just a reminder to me that when I thought that somebody had lost a battle, that actually not even death can overcome us if we're in Christ, that death doesn't get the final word because Jesus has been raised from the grave. Amen? And so here's the thing. When it comes to our lives, we're more than conquerors. But I don't know about you, if I can be honest, sometimes We go through a problem or we're facing something that can make us feel like we're already defeated. Like maybe you've been praying and praying and you've been quoting scripture over whatever that is and you still feel overwhelmed. Like, you know what, I don't know if I can pray about this any longer. Like we've been grinding and praying and we're just not seeing any progress. And it's one of those things where you may be thinking, look, I would love to walk forward and bring my flag and dedicate it to the Lord, but instead of waving a white flag of surrender, I honestly feel like waving a white towel and giving up. And I want you to know, if that's you, when you face times like that, here's the first thing I want to tell you today, first truth, and it's this. Number one, that if your problem is too big for you, it's just the right size for God. If your problem is too big for you, it's just the right size for God. Even when we feel lost and like, what do we do? What's next? What does the future have? Nothing's too big for God. In fact, Stephen Furtick once said that we oftentimes forget that what is over our head is under his feet because he's Lord of all. And so we've seen this all throughout this series that God often does his best work when things look impossible. So here's how the story continues, verse 9. It says this. It says, after an all-night march from Gilgal, Joshua took them, that's the troops, by surprise. The Lord threw them into confusion. I love that. Joshua's doing his part, and the Lord does his part. The Lord threw them into confusion before Israel. So Joshua and the Israelites defeated them completely at Gibeon, but the battle wasn't over. Israel pursued them along the road, going up to Beth Horon, and cut them down all the way to Azekah and Makeda. Now this is where you just say something really fast and everybody just says, oh yeah, I guess that's how you say it, you know, whatever. Moving on, these hard names in the Bible. As they fled before Israel on the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the Lord hurled large hailstones down on them, and more of them died from the hail than were killed by the swords of the Israelites. Did y'all know that was in the Bible? You know, like, we picture God as like, you know, he's holding a lamb, and it's just like, you know, come sit on my lap. But, you know, Jesus had times when he turned over the tables, and he brought the whip in the middle of a marketplace, you know, to cast people out of the temple when they were turning God's house into, you know, a marketplace. And here God is. The enemies of God are escaping, and God's like, you know, and hailstones start coming down from heaven. Can we be honest? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, but I kind of feel like, man, I would love to have seen that. Like sometimes I would love to see like hailstones coming down from heaven onto my enemies, you know, onto my problems, right? You don't have to raise your hand, but you know you'd love to see that. It's one of those things, like some people will say, you know, the Bible's boring. Man, what I found in my life, the Bible's not boring. Did you see that? Like sometimes I think we're boring. We just need to read the Bible. The Bible's awesome. But anyway, so here they are. God sends hailstones down from heaven. And the thing that's so funny about this, it says that the hailstones did more damage than even all their fighting. And it's just a reminder for us that God can do more in a moment than what we can do in a lifetime of trying to do things our own way. God showed up and God came through. But the battle wasn't over. And in the middle of this, Joshua looks around. What are we going to do? And he prays this bold prayer. Here's what this crazy, maybe the craziest prayer in all the Bible says. Here's the prayer. On the night the Lord gave the Amorites over to Israel, Joshua said to the Lord in the presence of Israel, here's the prayer. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and you, moon, over the valley of Ajalon. Now you got to think, if his friends are kind of sitting around there like, Joshua, can't we just pray that we'll fight harder, you know? Can't we just pray that, like, God will, you know, like, help us out in the battle? But he prays for the sun and the moon to stop in its axis, to stop and to stand still in the middle of the day, like this suddenly to bring this cosmic miracle around them. And it's because he didn't want the enemy to get away under the cloak of night. It's kind of like, if you've ever seen the movie Dodgeball, it's like they say, you know, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see how that pays off. You know, this is kind of like, you know, I don't know if this is going to work out. But here's a thing. Honestly, praying for the sun to stand still doesn't even make any sense. You know, Joshua, you don't even know your science, you know. I mean, I think the earth moves a little bit, but in reality, it doesn't make sense for the suns to stand still. It's one of those things where the sun is pretty much still. And the earth is what actually moves, you know? We used to think the earth was flat. So Joshua's praying this prayer in kind of ignorance. It's a stupid prayer. Sun, stand still. And so God could have answered it like, ta-da, I do it every day. The sun's still, you know? But it's one of these things. I love this. It's a stupid prayer, and it just gives me hope when I pray stupid prayers in my life. You know, it just gives me hope that when I pray dumb prayers that make no sense, that maybe my perspective is so skewed that God can figure out what I mean, and God can even figure out how to answer our stupid prayers, right? And answer our prayers in the way that's best for us because he loves us most. And so Joshua, he prays this ignorant prayer, scientifically at least, but it's a huge prayer of faith. Sun, stand still. Moon, stop on its axis. It's almost like, one of the things I love about this is not a general prayer. This is not this like, you know, passive general prayer, you know, easy prayer. Something like we oftentimes pray, God be with me, God help me. There's nothing wrong with those. God, you know, in this time, be with me. Those are good prayers, but they're very general. How would we ever know if God showed up and God came through? I love this prayer because it's bold and it's specific. And I think this is how God wants us to pray. But why would God make the sun and the moon, or however you want to say it, stand still when he'd never done it before? And so Joshua prays this bold prayer. It's bold and it's specific. And here's what happened after he prays this prayer. Verse 13. It says, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the nation avenged itself on its enemies, as it is written in the book of Jashar. The sun stopped in the middle of the sky and delayed going down about a full day. There has never been a day like it before or since, a day when the Lord listened to a human being. Surely the Lord was fighting for Israel. Now, we could look at this story and say, okay, well, scientifically, how did that happen? You know, was it like a new sun that God brought? Was it, you know, how did this whole thing happen? I mean, did God actually make the earth, you know, stop it from rotating? And is that even possible? Because if the earth stopped rotating, wouldn't we just all just keep drifting into the solar system somewhere? It's like, I think what God wants us to see in this story is not figure out scientifically how God did it. I mean, I can't explain it scientifically, but my faith is anchored to this truth, is that the God who created the sun and the moon and the stars can tell them where to go. You know, the God who spoke in the very beginning of time and creation happened, the sun and the moon and the stars, and there's still galaxies out there that we're still discovering that God created. And I love this because it's not a problem for God to make the sun kind of hang around for another day, you know? It's not a problem for God. And so it's kind of like, well, the laws of nature, it's really the laws of God. God created them. It's not a problem for him. And so instead of trying to figure out the scientific probability and could this happen and would this happen, and I think God wants us to really look at this story and look at Joshua's prayer, to look at Joshua's faith and to learn from his boldness. See, the thing is, I think God wants us to have faith to pray bolder prayers in our lives, to have faith to believe God for greater things, to have faith to realize that what seems impossible to us is not even a problem for God. And so Joshua's story reminds us that prayer really does change things. And so here's the second truth I want to tell you today. It's this. It's that when we pray bold and specific prayers, God delights in coming through. When we pray bold, juggernaut prayers, you know, not just God be with me, but God, I pray that the sun will stand still. When we pray bold and specific prayers, God delights in showing up and coming through. See, if we pray just wimpy general prayers, how would we even know that God answered them? But I think the two big questions we all have to ask, we all wonder when it comes to prayer, are really this. Number one, is God willing and is God able? Is God willing? Like, does he care? Is he willing to answer my prayer? Is he listening? Is he willing? And the second one, is he able? Does God have the power to actually influence things when I pray? And the thing that I know, as we see in this story, is it shows us the power of prayer. It shows us that God not only is willing, but he's able to answer anything. He's willing to overcome any barrier in our lives. And it doesn't mean that if things don't go our way, that we weren't praying right. It doesn't mean when things don't go our way that we didn't have bold enough faith sometimes, but it just reminds us of what could happen, what might happen if God's people began to pray, if God's people began to ask audacious prayers, believing and trusting what God wanted to do. What might God be waiting to do? See, the thing is, as we continue in our Imagine More journey as a church, one of the things that I know as we seek to create a 24/7 presence in this community, just like for Joshua and the people of God, just like is the same for our journey, God has to show up and God has to come through. And thanks be to God, God's already done that over and over and over on our journey. In fact, as we started this Imagine More journey a year ago, man, it was so scary. Like, what's going to happen? Can we do this? And what's already happened, we've seen God has been so faithful working in this campaign. But here's what I know, and this is really the bottom line for today. It's this. In order to go where God wants us, we have to pray bold prayers and take bold steps. In order to go where God wants us, we have to do two things. We have to pray bold prayers and take bold steps. Both of those things. We have to trust God with bold prayers and take bold steps of action. And I want to encourage you, what does this mean for your life? Like, how can you pray bold prayers, and how can you take bold steps on our journey, on our Imagine More journey? What does that mean for you? How can you do that? And the thing is, as we celebrate today, as we finish up lap one in our Imagine More journey, I want to first just thank you for your extreme generosity. So many people have given so faithfully to this campaign, and I'm just so humbled all the time. When I share with people all throughout our conference and people that aren't even part of our church, they're like, whoa, that's crazy. You know, what we've been able to do as a church. We literally could not do what God's calling us to do without you. We could not do it. And at the same time, it's because of your incredible sacrifice and your commitment to keep grinding in the campaign that God is opening doors. Thank you for that. At the same time, I know that when you start a journey, sometimes you make a commitment and sometimes things in your life happen that you didn't expect, you know? And maybe you find yourself where you expected to be, you know, in a different place, a little bit further ahead in this journey. And it's really easy in those times to get really discouraged. I want you to know that the things in your life that you encountered were never a surprise to God. And what I know is this is lap one of a 3-year journey. And I know God can do a whole lot in your life in 2 years. And so instead of, I don't know, when I get behind in something, I'm tempted to throw in the white towel and to quit. But I want to encourage you today that if that's you, if you found yourself maybe behind where you thought you'd be, to maybe, as we start year two, there's not a better time to maybe take some bold steps forward and start walking forward in that journey. I know there's so many people in here who have gotten connected here at the Fountain within this last year. And if you haven't yet had the opportunity to be a part of this this journey together, we want to invite you to join us. God's on the move. We want to invite you to join us. And if you'd like to talk about how to make a commitment to that, I'd love to share with you about that. And but maybe just be praying about how you could take bold steps and what God might be calling you to do. But the question for all of us as a church is this: how can I pray bold? How can I pray bolder prayers? And how can I take bold steps so that we and so that you can go where God is calling us to go? As we finish our time up, we're going to sing a song, The Lord Our God is Faithful. And as we come, you got some Imagine More flags. Everybody have your flags when you came in? Yeah, all right. Those are manly flags, Josh. Way to go. But anyway, they're little flags. But anyway, they're significant. It says Imagine More on them. And as we sing this song, I want to encourage you during this song, if you're able, to come forward during this song and to place those Imagine More flags in these in the ground right here in these pots. And it's really symbolic of us saying, God, we believe that you're faithful and that we commit to you to pray bolder prayers and to take bold steps in where you're calling us to do. We imagine more. And so together, let's walk forward. Let's trust God. And let's take the land. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for our journey. And we thank you for your faithfulness in our lives and in our church. And God, we just pray that as we come forward, as we do something and just respond to the service in this kind of way, that it would become so much more than that. That this would be a declaration of our faith to say, God, we believe you. We believe that you're faithful, and we'll keep walking forward. We're not going to move without you, but God, when you're calling us, we're stepping forward. And so God, help us in our lives to pray bolder prayers, to take bolder steps. And God, we trust that you're going to get us from where we are to where you're calling us to be, both in our lives and in our church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.